The first thing we're going to do is open with prayer. Let's call upon him together. Father in heaven, as we now go into thy word, as we open thy holy book, we also open with prayer, opening our hearts and our minds unto thee. Speak to us, help us, raise us up, and strengthen us, O Lord, by thy word. For thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And O Lord, we yield ourselves to thee now. Let the devil be put to flight. Let him have no power to hinder or steal away thy word from the hearts of any. But, O Lord, I pray that it would take root and cause us to grow in the grace and knowledge of thee. Let thy perfect will be accomplished here now as we are now yielded unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. We're going to open our Bibles this morning, first of all, to the book of Mark, chapter 13. Amen. We're going to begin with verse 24. I am so amazed at how quickly things are moving in this world, and not in the right direction either. But in all the things that we see happening, we see the fulfillment of prophecy. There are horrible times coming. In fact, if people would care to stop what they're doing long enough to look, if you really look at what's going on, you know that the Almighty God is already judging the sin, the iniquity, the wickedness of man. Praise the Lord. Here comes one of our campers, right? Now, did you get rained out? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My prayers are answered. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. In Mark 13, verse 24, incidentally, the message today is titled, it's a one-word title. We can easily fit this on the tape label. It's called Watch. Mark 13, 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, some people haven't figured that out yet either. They think they're going to fly off somewhere before there's any tribulation. But it says, but in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. And the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. These are the very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is God Himself talking. And what a day that's going to be, that divine interruption, when all of the pursuits and endeavors of man will be suddenly, without warning, suddenly interrupted. When that sky splits open, folks, it's like lightning shining from east to west. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? Some people say there's a secret coming. Nothing secret about it. The only thing we don't know about it is when. But when it happens, everybody's going to know it. Every eye shall see him. Well, what they've done, the Schofield people, is they split it up into 2 second comings. That's what you call adding a caboose to the train. Doesn't work. He's coming back one more time. That's what the Bible says. And he's coming with judgment, fiery judgment. And that is why we need to be in the very palm of his hand, because he knows how to take care of his people. You read the Bible, you see that he's always taken care of them. He's worked miracles and done wonders to take care of them. And so all around us, we see the unfolding of God's divine plan, and he will be known. Now, there's people walking around today saying, I don't know God. Who's he? Huh? Who's that? They're going to know him in that day because he is known by his judgments. You know, it's really something. Years ago, and I've been preaching like this for years, but I feel more intensified today. But praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing when God takes a hold of you, because you kind of lose control and let him have control. But you know, years ago, there were these gay pride parades once a year. Once a year. That was bad enough. That was once a year too often. Now it's all the time. And not just in San Diego. And I always like to mention, if I mention that in San Diego, it starts on Normal Street. But in San Francisco, San Diego, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, all the big cities. But now it's in Calcutta, Berlin, all around Southeast Asia, all around the world. Third world countries have got them. All on the same day, June 26th, 2013s. But now there are other gatherings, not just these yearly parades, but they're doing this all the time. They're having rallies for queer marriages and all this stuff. My Bible tells me that Sodom and Gomorrah were examples. If God poured out fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, He's going to pour that judgment out on all the cities that are doing these things. It's going to hit everywhere, folks. There's going to be blood in the streets. There's going to be fire. Judgment will come because He is mighty to judge. People don't like judgment. They don't like it when you do it. But the Bible says judge righteous judgment. People say, how can you judge the queers? I read the book. Huh? And I read what happened there. I can judge righteous judgment. I can measure by this book. I can measure. It isn't a matter of how I feel or what I think. What anybody thinks doesn't amount to a hill of beans. It's what this book says. It's what God does about it. No matter what anybody says, God will do what He will do. And it's coming. Well, you didn't know all that was in verse 24, did you? All right. Powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 26 says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall He send His angels and shall gather together His elect. His elect. His people. I'm going to tell you something. Some people get mad at me for saying this, but I'll tell you anyway. I believe that almost everybody who's ever going to be in heaven's already there. We live in a lost world. There are literally billions and billions and billions of people that are going to bust hell wide open and spend eternity there. And that's a sad fact. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And what that means is there were just a few left. It isn't just the misbehavior. When Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, He was not referring only to the social distemper and misbehavior and gross sin, but also to the fact that there was only a very small remnant, 8, that were saved by water. The rest were destroyed by water. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Folks, it is now as it was in the days of Lot. Who can deny it? These homosexuals have literally taken over the government. They've taken over the schools. They've taken over the universities. They've taken over social services. They've taken over the daycare centers. They have come in and taken over everything, and they are in your face. And there's only one message: repent or go to hell. Well, now that doesn't leave much tolerance, does it? It's like I'm one of these. Am I mean? Am I nasty? No, I'll tell you what. I hate sin. And God hates sin. Sin destroys a nation. Sin destroys families. Sin and iniquity destroys everything. And I believe it's time to repent. Even rats jump off a sinking ship. Well, praise the Lord. And so the Word of God says, and then shall He send His angels and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. What a gathering that will be. That's no secret rapture, folks. It's after the tribulation of those days. But there will be a gathering unto Him. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender. Now some say, well, a fig tree, that's Israel. It was in the Old Testament, but not in the New. Read it. It's the olive tree. Huh? Is just, can a fig tree bring forth olive berries? Isn't that what James said? Oh, hey, it's a different tree now, isn't it? It's a new covenant. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So what is Jesus saying? We have enough sense as human beings to know that when leaves come onto the trees and blossoms and so forth, we can tell what season it is. Don't need a calendar or anything. You can tell by the trees. That's what he's talking about here. Is it hot in here or is that just me? Okay, I'm hot and sweating all the time. I never cool down. Anyway, in verse 29 it says, so ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh. Even at the doors, I see these things coming to pass. What does it tell me? It's nigh. It's at the doors. You know, I've been in churches that used to have prophecy conferences. They get together and talk about prophecy. You never hear them talk about it anymore. They never talk about the Lord coming back again. What happened? We need to talk about this even the more as we see the day approaching. Well, Jesus said that there would be those that would stop looking for him to come, and then they would begin to eat and drink with the drunken. They would say, my Lord delayeth his coming. There are things that still have to happen before he comes. I'm here to tell you that his coming is imminent, because the things that he said would happen could happen so fast it'd make your head spin. You and I don't have anything today that couldn't be taken away from us tomorrow. Do you realize how fast things move when things get going? When a sovereign move of God takes place? But the reason I don't worry about it, and I'm not fearful about it, although my concern is great, is that he will be with us. Why do you think he laid this all out for us? He said, here, read my book. I'll lay it out for you. Here's how it's going to be. And then he said, when you see these things start to happen, you know, you will know that the time is near. And at the very doors, kind of like when somebody walks up to your house to visit, depending on who it is, you'll answer the door, but somebody comes up to your and that you see him approaching, coming up the sidewalk, coming up the walkway, and getting close to the door. He's, whoop, they're almost here. Pull the shades. but anyway, you know they're at the doors. You can tell, here they are. Just about here. Well, the Lord will come and be at the very doors before you know it. Verily I say unto you, that this generation, which one? The generation of the signs. Remember in other places, the signs that he gave, the earthquakes? We used to have an earthquake about every 2 weeks. I mean, significant one, every two or three weeks. Folks, they're happening just about every day. But they're not on the news. Earthquakes aren't news. They are to the people who get rattled. Huh? They are to the people whose houses fall down. How about the 60 major fires in Alaska that nobody's hearing about? That's not news either, is it? We got an email from somebody that's way up there in the bush country of Alaska, and they're surrounded by flames. The state's doing nothing for them. They can't do anything for them because there's so many fires, and there's too much to do. You know, as you look across, and the floods and the tornadoes, did you know that last tornado season, this one isn't tallied yet, we're still in the middle of it, but last year, according to the National Weather Service, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, as it's called, there were precisely 666 tornadoes. Another coincidence? Oh, yeah, so what? That's a sign to me! And it's a sign to you. Signs are everywhere. What do people want? Skywriting? Well, that's not out of the question either. And if they had it, they wouldn't pay any heed to it. We live in a generation that is, the spiritually, they're a bunch of blind, deaf, and dumb quadriplegics. Can't hear, can't see, can't move, won't do anything. In a spiritual sense. And you can tell them and tell them and tell them. And we're going to keep telling them because God told us to tell them. He said, preach the gospel to every creature, and believe you me, some of them are real creatures. But we go ahead and tell them. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass. This is what he said. Till all these things be done. It's going to go all the way through its cycle, full course. Heaven and earth shall pass away. You realize that, right? A lot of people don't think so. That's why they laid the cornerstone for the Freedom Tower. Isn't that something? Our land is enslaved. They still talk about liberty. They have the audacity to call it Freedom Tower, where the World Trade Center once stood. You know, I was thinking about that this morning. It just seems so unreal sometimes, doesn't it, Diane, that those towers are gone? I was thinking this morning how, you know, we stood up there on the roof. I was up on that South Tower in July, and then in September it was gone. It's so clear in my memory how I walked around up on the roof of that tower and prayed to the Lord to preserve his people and protect his people. And later on I found out there were hundreds of Christians that were either late for work, didn't show up that day, something happened to them, and hundreds of Christians were spared that demise there, that disaster in New York. But we have been shown by Almighty God that the time is about up. And the reaction of our country, more Britney Spears, huh? More of these, and these heavy metal groups have risen up. And they're having this big, up in Cadott, Wisconsin, they're having this big rock fest, heavy metal fest up there shortly. And they're going to draw in from Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Paul. And the worst of the worst, Judas Priest and all these different ones going to be performing. I thought they were in the woodwork somewhere and died. They're all coming out of the woodwork. All at once, queers are parading. Everything happening all at once. We have an incumbent president who is under the direct control of Satan. Now what I say is God has the final say in everything. But he's under the direct control of the enemy. We have John Kerry, who is under the direct control of the enemy. Both of them skull and bones. Both of them from Yale. In fact, George W. Bush was born on campus at Yale University. And then born over again in a coffin. So you look at this thing, you say, where is this going? What can we do? First of all, we look away from the world. We look up because Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your eyes, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. We are citizens of a heavenly city. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. This world is not our home. It's what we know as far as the flesh is concerned. We've lived here for a while. We've become acclimated to it to a certain extent. We perform our duties and functions and try to do what's right. But remember, all that you see, all that you walk on, all that you grab a hold of, everything tangible, all of it's going to go. And that's okay because of what happens afterward. Everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. And so Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away. But my words shall not pass away. What are you and I founded upon? We sang that song this morning, The Solid Rock. What is our foundation? The Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God created all these things. The Word of God will destroy all these things. But the Word of God existed before the world. In fact, it brought forth the world. It will exist after the world is gone. We stand upon the Word of God. We have utmost respect for this King James Bible because it is the Word of God. No wonder it's so attacked in these last days. The devil's produced other versions, other things that take people's minds away and confuse them. No, I learned as a little child to love these scriptures. And then later on, when I went the wrong way and went into the occult, the Lord had his mercy and grace upon me and brought me back out. but I never forgot what I knew. Amen. And so Jesus said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Just think of that. Not even Billy Graham knows. Huh? Not even all these people that write these books that think they know, that make timelines, draw prophecy charts, in comic book form even. They don't know. But we are to be always ready, ever vigilant. In fact, the Apostle Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. That's how we have victory. But do I see people resisting the devil? Oh, how quickly they acquiesce before the powers of darkness. How quickly they fall lockstep into the path of deception. It's really something, too, when you... You know, we know a lot of things because the Lord has shown us a lot of things. And some of us are old enough. I'm referring to myself, Gary, Denny, Ken, different ones here. I have to be careful with this when I start talking about age. But we still remember what it was like before, and we can see the contrast. And it was a gradual change, but now, of course, it's picked up a rapid pace. But we still remember how it used to be, when there was character and a certain amount of virtue and standards. And we sometimes don't remember that most of the people walking out there right now don't know a fraction of what you and I know. Look at their faces. You want an experience sometime? Go somewhere and just watch people. Just look at their faces. They've been programmed. They've been brainwashed. They've been completely duped. I was at the Ponderosa restaurant the other day just looking around. I thought, where did all these people come from? It looked like they opened the asylum. I'm not trying to be unkind. What is with these people? And I realize that the enemy has done his work. I recently did a videotape exposing the 60s rock music and how they were spells set to music that were put in people's brains, planted in there for later use. That there are a people right now running this world that have a soundtrack embedded in their mind. Remember Bill Clinton? Remember his favorite group, Pink Floyd? I don't think I'd want a president whose favorite group was Pink Floyd. He's got Pink Floyd on his mind, among other things. But he has a very interesting mind, too, because when he was on trial, remember, they impeached him. By the way, he now says that was a high point in his life because he beat it, you know. But when they impeached him, they're asking him all these questions. I don't know. I don't remember that. I don't remember that either. I don't remember that. But then he's off the hook, and all of a sudden he remembers enough to write this big book. His memory suddenly came back because millions were involved. I think that's rather amazing. But the Lord said, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man walking in a far country. Or pardon me, taking a far journey. Who left his house and gave authority to his servants. So Jesus is likening the Son of Man now, like a man taking a far journey. Who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. We all have work to do. And commanded the porter or doorkeeper to watch. Jesus said, watch ye therefore. You should count how many times he says watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. I notice that emphasis there. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Are we part of that all? Watch, watch, watch. You're going to see something if you watch. He mentioned here the danger that exists, that when he would come, he would find you sleeping. Now, that doesn't mean physically sleeping necessarily, but spiritually asleep, busy doing a lot of things, but not aware of the fact and not awakened unto the fact that the Lord has called us out of sin and evil to live for him, to occupy till he comes, to be his servants, and as servants to declare the truth of it all, that he is coming to judge this world and to destroy it. So, we have this command to watch. And it distresses me, folks, to see so many people so complacent, so apathetic. You know, after the Twin Towers came down, I heard from a lot of people that were scurrying around looking for the August newsletter and calling me from all over the world and saying, we just read it in your newsletter a little over a month ago, and now about the towers being on fire and all the smoke and everything, and now it's happened. Yeah, it did. God still does give visions and dreams. He said he would in the last days. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. I must have been young at the time because I saw a vision, but now maybe we'll slip into the dream category. But the point is, it did happen, and after it happened, this place was full for about 2 weeks. Every seat was taken. Towers came down, Pentagon under attack. What's going to happen next? All the airlines grounded, nothing moved. They even stopped the semis. Gas lines were forming at the stations because they didn't know what was going to happen. People run into the grocery store for about 2 weeks. Now everything's fine again. Everything's under control, right? Under their control. And people are under their control. Wait till it really breaks loose. But wouldn't it be better to learn faithfulness now? Wouldn't it be better to develop a close relationship with God right now? Wouldn't it be better to yield your heart completely and absolutely to the Lord right now? The last time I was in the United Nations building, and I've been there 7 or 8 times, the last time I was in there, I saw a chart they had put up that they were looking for absolute takeover of the entire world by the year of 2005. They got it right in, a big thing up on the wall. Well, where are we? 2004. Over halfway through it. Is their plan right on target? I don't know, but they're going to push for it, and that means trouble. But God has the final say. Yes, he does. But the Lord cautioned us and told us that when we watch, we need to pray, because when we pray, we're going to find the need to watch all the more. And we're going to keep doing that. And we're going to keep declaring what we see and what we perceive in the Spirit. You see, this is nothing new. It happened once before. Because Old Testament Israel, with their old covenant, which, by the way, no longer exists. Did you know that? The old covenant is gone. Some people think the Jews are under the old covenant, but the old covenant isn't there anymore. They don't have a covenant. The only covenant there is with Jesus Christ. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be, remember? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him, H-I-M, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Not to a land on the Mediterranean Sea, unto him, Jesus Christ, new covenant. Hebrews 8:13 tells us the old covenant decayeth and is ready to vanish away. Amen. Aren't you thankful to know that when you read the book of Galatians, that you know that the inheritance did not come by the law, but by promise? It was promised to Abraham before the law was given. The law was given to identify sin and show man that he couldn't keep it, that he was a failure as far as the first covenant was concerned. The Lord took care of it because he became a man and kept it perfectly, took it to the cross, bled all over it, suffered and died, took your failure to keep it with him to make an atonement for you. But the inheritance of heaven, the inheritance as being a joint heir with Christ, never was by the law. Read it in Galatians. It was by promise before the law was given. And that promise was made to only two people, Abraham and Jesus. And the way to be a child of Abraham is through Jesus Christ. That was Paul's message to all of these Hebrew people out there, people who had been under the old covenant. There is now a new way, a new and a living way. Jesus Christ, he's the chief cornerstone. You find that you must be builded upon him. And what does the devil have people believing today? That the Jews and the old covenant and all that are the chosen people. God has a chosen people, chosen by Jesus Christ, called unto him and him only. How are these people going to be saved if they think they've got another way, another door? Jesus said, if anyone tries to come up another way, the same as a thief and a robber. And there's all your Schofieldism and all this nonsense, which, if you really look into, blasphemes the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? You know, they talk about how this temple's going to be rebuilt. When it's rebuilt, then the Jews will take this red heifer and kill this red heifer, let the blood flow all over and so forth, burn it and take the ashes of the red heifer. Somehow they're going to come up with an ark. What did Jesus do? Did he suffer and die on the cross? Was he buried? Did he rise again so they could find a red heifer? You see how deceived people are? Come on. Besides, they never really found the red heifer yet. They're two hairs short of it. They got this red heifer, but two of the hairs are white. And some of the Lubavitchers, these big head rabbis, said, that's close enough. But they couldn't really agree on, no, it isn't. There's two hairs. We could shave them off. There still isn't a red heifer. They said, now they've got the formula. Through the genome research, they can now make a red heifer. Isn't that just like man? Huh? The Lord ripped the veil in the temple from the top to the bottom. Wasn't that something? Because you see, Nebuchadnezzar carried the ark and all the vessels of the temple off. He might have melted them down. I don't know what he did. But when that veil, when Jesus hung on the cross and that veil was ripped open from the top to the bottom, remember how the high priest would go in there sprinkling the blood, going through all the motions? The ark wasn't there. What did God do? What did Jesus do when he hung on the cross and the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom? He laid that religion wide open. Huh? They looked in there and there was supposed to be an ark and there was nothing but a floor. They had been duped. The ark wasn't there. It was gone. They let them think it was there. They went through all the motions. They went to the altar of sacrifice. They went to the laver. They went inside and the priest put his little jingle bells on. He had to wear those on his ankle, you know, in case he dropped dead and they had to pull him out with a rope. But he stopped jingling. They knew God killed him. But he went in there and did his thing, you know, and all this. And the people out there, atonement. No. When the Lord ripped that thing top to bottom, 24 inches thick, that must have made quite a noise, folks. It'd take God to rip something like that in half. I have trouble with rags sometimes. But for the Lord to rip that thing open, and then behind it, talk about a double cross, was nothing but an empty room. Jesus did not suffer them to carry any vessel through the temple. He said, that's it. No more animal sacrifice ever again. You will not kill these animals and sacrifice them. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. He said, I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and of goats. But they want to find this red heifer and make it happen all over again. When I see those kind of things come to pass, I know it's near. I'm not going to look away from Calvary and follow after a red heifer. You know, one of these televangelists, these preachers, they get on television. You know what they're telling people now? They're saying, and people get all excited, ooh and ah, you know. They're telling people that now we're going to have the red heifer. And this red heifer is going to walk up Calvary's hill. And this heifer is going to turn and look at the city and atone for its sins. And would anybody endorse or support in any way such nonsense as that? By the millions of dollars. Why? Because people gravitate toward error. And it takes the spirit of truth to call anybody out. The reason you're listening to the Bible today is because the spirit of truth has called you out. Otherwise, you'd be up there ogling the red heifer or something. It's gotten worse than I thought it ever could get. And people will fight you over this. I say, let's focus in on Jesus Christ. Let's look at Calvary. Let's look to Him for our salvation. The new covenant of His blood. Amen. For you see, with the law, I can't keep the law. I failed. I can't keep it. But I know the one who did. And He said, I can be in Him and He can be in me. I can't take that glory for myself. He did it. Praise the Lord. Therefore, he who received the promise, just like Abraham received the promise, has included me in the promise, in the inheritance by promise, apart from and aside from the law, which could get me nothing but condemnation. But I know the one who kept it. Amen. And so I am a firm believer in the new covenant of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's go back in the Old Testament for a minute. Into Jeremiah chapter 6. And 5 o'clock this morning, the Lord directed me to this in my mind. And then I took the Bible after I prayed and let it drop open. Guess where it dropped open to? I wasn't even looking at Jeremiah 6. That was because I was praying. I said, Lord, Jeremiah 6, I know what Jeremiah 6 says, and people aren't going to like that. And not that I want people to like what I say necessarily, but I hit so hard and heavy for so long, sometimes I wonder, it feels like inside, people get sick of all the pounding and all of the warning all the time, you know. That's just me as a human being. But I don't stop doing it. Because the Lord doesn't let me stop doing it. I realize sometimes people need a little comfort. Well, I think I put some of that in. The Lord brings that in measure as we need it, but we need to be realistic. And we need to understand the time we're living in. And so I prayed and I said, Lord, Jeremiah 6, there's 66 books in the Bible, there's 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Could I ask again? And then I opened to Jeremiah 6, and he showed me, no, I told you the first time. This is what it has to be. But then he also gave me what I have given you thus far, leading over to this. For you see, the trouble and the problems with people today are nothing new. You've got the same devils operating today that operated back there. People are making the same mistakes. In fact, in the temple that God raised up and gave specifications for, whose original pattern is in heaven, They did add-ons to it. They added a special area for the sodomites. Are they doing that in the religious world today? They're giving them a special status? I saw this United Methodist minister with a rainbow stole around his neck, which one day is going to hang him. But he had this around his neck to show his acceptance. You know what he was doing? He was doing a confirmation for queers. And they were coming up with their limp wrists and their these little pansy boys arm in arm kissing each other. And he's going to give them their sacred confirmation or whatever. They did it before, but this time is going to be the end of it. Now, in Jeremiah 6, it starts out by saying, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem. In other words, get out of there. And blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hakkerem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flock shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. So it looks like everything's at peace, but then everything changes. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, and the shadows of the evening are stretched out. You know, when the sun goes down, the shadows get longer. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. Sounds like treachery, doesn't it? For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. Now, visited there doesn't mean a little friendly ring of the doorbell. Visited here means to be judged. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Her wickedness just doesn't exist as a pool of wickedness. Her wickedness is like a fountain spewing it up in front of everybody. Do you ever see these big fountains of water? They're beautiful. God compared the wickedness of this nation because there is a comparison here. We can find the United States back here where the shoe fits, you wear it. And what happened back here is happening in our country. The same things. Therefore, judgment will most assuredly come. As a fountain casteth out her water, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel from as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. In other words, one picking grapes and dropping them in as a final harvest. Just a few more left. To whom shall I speak and give warning? Listen, God's asking a question here. Who shall I warn that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. In other words, their ears don't work. They're not cleansed. They're not ears of covenant. They're not ears that God has touched. And they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. In other words, it's a shame. The word of God is a shame to them. I mentioned last week, I think, how my friend Becky over in Iowa had sent me this article out of the... I had this in the newsletter, too. This police beat, you know, these newspapers have the police beat, different crimes that are committed and why the police were called up. And one of them, all it said was, people were handing out free Bibles. The police had to come and take care of that. Now, since when is it a crime to hand out free Bibles? Under an Antichrist regime, it is. I am a firm believer in Romans 13. We're not here to overthrow any government or anything at all. God's going to judge all of this. But I will tell you this, that any law that interferes with the law of God, with the edicts of God, with the commandments of God, is a bad law, and bad laws we don't obey. Ask Daniel about that. Furthermore, if you read verse 3 of Romans 13, it disqualifies our government as being a government of God, because a government of God is not a terror to good works. And if they're a terror to good works, it shows you the Antichrist has risen up. In every place where you read about honoring government and so forth, it's always qualified in one of the verses before or after as to what qualifies it as a power, that powers that be. The only powers that be are ordained of God. If they're a terror to good works, then the Lord has forsaken that. Like he said in the Old Testament, they have raised up kings, but not by me. Not by me. I didn't do it. They raised them up. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. And I'll tell you what, John Kerry is no Christian with his ashes on his forehead there. Isn't that something? Jewish-born, Roman Catholic, goes and gets ashes on his forehead for Ash Wednesday, and we're supposed to believe that he's a fine Christian example. Furthermore, the Bible says when you fast, you're supposed to wash your face, not put ashes on it. God says, therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. Why? People can't hear. They don't hear. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband and the wife with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. I received an anonymous letter from Camp Lejeune, from somebody who's soon to get out of the military there. He's anonymous. I don't even know who he is. He can't tell me. But he sent me pictures of what they're doing down there. I've got the pictures. They're in safekeeping. If anybody thinks they can find them, let them try. They're in safekeeping. Pictures of the Russian tanks, the foreign military vehicles, how they built a church on Camp Lejeune so they can prepare and practice attacking this church. They even gave it a pastor, Wyatt Earp. They put a cross on the top with a blue light on the top of it. This man wrote to me. He's so concerned. He said, they've got a name for this project that they're working on. And it has to do with urban. Do you remember what it was I told you, Chad? Do you happen to remember? What is it?
M-O-U-T.
M-O-U-T. Mout. Do you recall what that's an acronym for? It just slips past me right now. We'll leave it at that, but it has to do with urban attack and so forth. Now, why are they so busy down there setting up an American type of a city with a Christian church, supposedly a cross on it, so they can go in and practice attacking it? What's that all about? And this man who was in the service said, my complete unit would be in danger if I told you any more than what I've already told you. There's always a fly on the wall, a bird in the tree, that's going to let you know. There are serious things going on. There's an organization called NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. There are 26 members in this thing, 213s. They have signed an agreement that any NATO member's forces can go into any other NATO member country, fully armed. Now, what does that mean? 26 nations agreeing to all mix their military up, stir it together into one big salad. That's your one world army. That's your one world navy. I've been preaching that for years, and it's a reality now. And they got that stuff over here. There's massive military mobilization in our country. Because as I have said time and again, and I know some people don't like this because they like to have a physical anchor they can hang on to. But this is true. No matter what government or what people you're talking about, the enemy of any people is its own government. I don't have any beef with the Iraqi people. These wars are family squabbles, illuministic families. The Lord's coming, folks. The Lord's coming. Let me read on just a little bit. I'm running low on time here. But the Word of God tells us what will happen to this land. Their houses shall be turned unto others. Of course, they're doing that through their banksters. Remember when the IRS determined that you couldn't have interest-free credit unless it was attached to your mortgage? So everything would be attached to the mortgage so they could take it all when the time comes. Your houses turned unto others, with their fields and wives together, for I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. They all want it, and they want it now. I tell young people, when you get married, as you should, most don't anymore, but when you do, make sure you don't go out and try to have it all right now. You can sit on peach crates until you save up the money to buy a chair, and then save up the money to buy a couch. But they got to go out and get a credit card, and then another credit card. Pretty soon they got a whole bunch of them. They max them all out. And that debt will be there the day that they die. Because they want it, and they want it now. Go over to the high school. What do you see in the parking lot? When I was a kid, we had old trucks, old beaters, rust blue, you know? And now, what do they have? BMWs, sports cars, canary yellow, candy apple red. Their parents went out and bought it for them. Had to have. They're not working. Yeah, some of it's drugs, but I'm talking about the whole parking lot's full of late model cars. Boy, when I went to school, these farm kids would come in, drive in with that old truck, you know, boom, 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 park it, and shotgun up in the rack, windows open, nobody said anything. What would happen to you if you would drive into a school today with a shotgun up in the rack in the back of the truck? All hell would break loose, but they did it all the time back then. Things have changed a little, haven't they? For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. Look at all this thing with the Catholic system and all the trouble with the priests. They have had to close down 60 parishes in Massachusetts, in the Boston Diocese, because of priest scandals. That's just there, all across the country. That's the problem. The Roman Catholic Church has never been able to separate the men from the boys. It's nothing but trouble, trouble, trouble. They all deal falsely. You know, if you're a minister today, they look at you funny. Oh, one of them. Used to have a little respect because you handled the word, but then again, this was all to happen. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace. Isn't that what we hear? When there is no peace. Because we went into Iraq, a nation that has never threatened us and never attacked us and cannot be tied in with Al-Qaeda in any way. We went in with peaceful bullets and peaceful rockets and peaceful ammunition of all types, weapons of all types, to help them. We blew their arms and legs off. We demolished their cities. We've utterly crushed them so that Halliburton could come in, Dick Cheney's old company, and these others, and literally take over the second richest oil reserve in the entire world. And to set into motion the illuministic World War III. Now, NATO is planning to get on the act. You know, months ago I started mentioning the Northern Army as being NATO. Nobody was talking about NATO in those days. Now it's in the news all the time. NATO, or as they like to call themselves, the mirror image of NATO, OTAN, which is a witchcraft acronym for the serpent power of Mother Earth. OTAN. NATO. Have you ever seen their symbol? It's a cross. It says NATO and then OTAN underneath it. Oh, they're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace, that you have to kill and destroy in order to have peace. No, no, no. Thank God He's given us a peace that passes all understanding. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. You know the one where there's no internet? That thing has done more to destroy the spirituality of our country than anything else. I don't even have mine hooked up on an internet. I've got a computer. I've got a couple of them. In fact, I think Last Trumpet has 9 of them. But the one I write the newsletter with and the other one in the other room, I'm not online. I hate being online. I really don't want to be online. Now, there are some people who will go in and get news off of there and things like that. We do pull news from that. Diane gets it for me and so forth. But I'll tell you what, I hate computers. I just wish we didn't have them. You know the Hebrew alphabet? Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, Heth, Vav, Sig, Yin, Het, Tet, Yud, Kaf, Lam, so forth. The sixth letter is equivalent to the W. So, when you got www, you got 666. 666, and then the rest of your address, and .com, .net, .org, .edu, whatever, .gov. But here you lay your forehead right on that computer, get right in there, www666. I hate the things. I don't criticize people who use it. I'm not saying you're taking the mark of the beast, but boy, I'll tell you what, it has taken our country over, and a full 80% of all the hits is pornographic. And people get addicted to this stuff, and they start looking at normal, there are a few, normal women as they should be like that, and destroys marriages and causes rapes and assaults and incest and bestiality and all these things going on because they learned it on the internet. The information superhighway, who's going to jump on that one? Satan. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. We just won't do it. Defiance. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We're not going to do it. We're not even going to listen. Ever run into people like that? Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts. What is going through the mind of man these days? Remember years ago they had that radio program, The Shadow? It started out with, some of you must be old enough. No one knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men. The shadow knows. And the little laughter, you know. The shadow knows. What's going on in the minds of men? Well, garbage in, garbage out. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Not acceptable. And your nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay a stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. It's really something with this draft thing they're talking about now. You know, it used to be that it was up to age 26 unless you had a deferment, it'd go to 32. Now they're talking 49. 49. Pulling people in that are retired from the military. Forcing them back in. I'd say they're getting pretty hard up, wouldn't you? Can you imagine taking some of these young girls and thrusting them into that military environment of four-letter words? Huh? Telling these young girls, all right, we're gonna grease our tank treads with them. Huh? We're going to teach them all this nastiness. And these young girls that have learned to make cookies and learned to be a mother and so forth, and these feminine young girls, and thrust them into that. I'll tell you what, don't go. You're being defiant. Don't go. It's an Antichrist war. In the first place, the scripture is absolutely opposed to girls going and fighting in the military. When you've got to put fashion boots out there, huh? And these little feminine, but you know what? There are a lot of them that want to go. And they're cocky and they're arrogant and they're all pierced up and they're full of fire. And I'm going to go get them. I'm going to spill blood. These are not normal girls. Sadly, we live in a demon-possessed society. But listen to what God said in verse 22. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear, and they are cruel. They have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. You know who Zion is today, don't you? It's the Christian people. It's the remnant. Before I conclude, I want to take a few verses also from Jeremiah, but from chapter 1, regarding this north or northern army. In Jeremiah 1:13 it says, and the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then the Lord said unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms. Isn't that odd that he puts families in there? Not just kingdoms, but families. Meshpakah is the Hebrew word. Meshpakah. Families as a class of people. Classes of people. Warrior classes. Isn't it amazing? Let me illustrate this for you. Back in World War I, before it started, and that whole war started over the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand at Sarajevo in what is now Yugoslavia. I guess Yugoslavia has been broken up into Kosovo and Herzegovina and different places like that. But at that time, Sarajevo was the site of an assassination that threw the whole world into a war. Now, how did that happen? Well, you see, there had been treaties drawn up. There was a treaty at Vienna. After every war, there were treaties. There was the Versailles Treaty after World War I, which ensured that there would be a World War II. For a treaty is not a peace agreement. A treaty is a plan for the next war. A treaty says, if this nation comes in here, that nation will come in there. This one will come to his aid. That one will come to his aid. Pretty soon the whole world's at war. That's what a treaty does. It's an agreement that everybody will come in, and you won't have a war between two countries ever. You will have a world war. And so we had treaties such as NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, CETO, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, the Warsaw Pact, all these different things. But they've all seemed to have evaporated except NATO, which has become a great northern army. But when World War I was fought, what's interesting is all the heads of state came from, all the major heads of state came from Queen Victoria. Sons, grandsons, cousins, all relatives. Isn't that odd? The Tsar of Russia was from the family of Victoria. The Kaiser of Germany, from the family of Queen Victoria. Of course, the King of England. Even the King of Greece. All over the place, they're all from the same family. If you want to trace the bloodline back, you can also find that President George W. Bush and John Kerry both came from that same line. The devil uses certain families. Meshpoka. The devil uses these illuministic, ordained of the devil, families to start these wars and these commotions. Jesus said, you'll see wars and commotions. Why? Because of this very thing. He says, for lo, I will call all the families. The families. What families? The warring families. Remember the Bolshevik Revolution? When you had Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin. Lenin, whose real name was Goldman. And Trotsky, whose real name was Bronstein, and how they were in the New York area, particularly Trotsky, these bewhiskered, unkempt Bolsheviki who trained and worked on their battle plans at Rockefeller's oil refinery in Bayonne, New Jersey, and then got on a Jacob Schiff chartered ship and went to Switzerland with $20 million of gold, hooked up with Lenin, went into Germany where Warburg put them on sealed boxcars, and they went into Russia where they appealed to the labor movement. And who ran the labor movement in our country? Samuel Gompers, Walter Reuther, same class of people, right? Amazing, isn't it? And so they went into Russia, the revolution came off, they hooked up with Stalin, who was a train robber. They called him the Jesse James of the Urals. And they had their country, and they built up communism. Everybody heard about the words communism and red. Communism still exists, but you never hear it. There are still reds, but you don't hear about them. What has happened? For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms. Families meaning those certain classes of people. Of the north, that northern army, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem. Now, if you compare the United States with Jerusalem, that was, if you do a comparison here, this is precisely what has happened, because all of this northern army, all of these warring, controlling families have come to the gates. And what is the gate of our country? It's New York City. The Big Apple, capital city of the world. They even have their own version of an angel, the statue of a whore, with a torch in New York Harbor, keeping the way of their version of the tree of life and the big apple that's on it. It gets real deep if you want to look into it. And against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. Then God said, and I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness. How do I know destruction's coming? Because there's wickedness, and God will judge it. It was a little bit of a guessing game with the computers and Y2K. Nobody knew for sure what would happen. And people think, well, because nothing happened, there won't be any judgment on this country. We escaped it. We made it. We slipped past that one. I'll tell you why it's coming. Because of the wickedness, the evil, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the work of their own hands. Go to the convenience stores. Who owns them? They got towels on their heads, right? This nation is given over to Islam. Do you know how many Muslims there are in this country and growing? How many Eastern religions there are? All that yin-yang effect and Buddhism and all those things going on. God said, you take their gods, I'll give them your wealth. We have Walmart, which is the biggest friend Red China ever had, the destroyer of our economy. Turn the radio on, Walmart commercials all the time, just not advertising products, but themselves. The mayor of Napa, California gets on and says, Walmart was good for us. Because of them, we can pay our fire department and schools and police and all this. And all this Walmart, 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 Walmart. Walmart is a conspiratorial company. Walmart is pioneering the radio frequency identification things. You know, and now they finally showed a picture of this can of Coke. Coca-Cola with the RFID on it. They can find that can in your hand from space or in your home. In fact, they're advertising. I saw it in a motel on a television watching CNN, the corrupt news network. And I saw their advertisement for Coca-Cola. They said, you won't find us. We will find you. And if they can find your can of Coke, they can find a whole lot of other things. Why am I telling you this? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm not trying to get you all upset. I am trying to help you to realize that you need to be moved by the Holy Ghost to get ready for what's coming. Because only God can help us. Thou therefore gird up the loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. So in other words, you go ahead, don't worry about what they think or what they look like. Tell them. Tell them the time is near. Tell them there's power in the blood. Tell them they can repent and start all over again, and God will take the fear out of their hearts. How can we look at all this coming down, the reality of it all, and not be fearful, not be afraid? Because if you truly fear and respect God, you will never be afraid of anything else. Nothing else will matter. Amen. And so, yes, it's Independence Day today, they call it. 4th of July, a lot of firecrackers going off. But how many people out there are thinking about their soul? How many people are thinking about where they will spend eternity? And how many are thinking about how many know about all of the clandestine things? How our country that they proclaim is at liberty has been already handed over to the Northern Army, to the United Nations. You know what I'm doing? I'm pulling away everything else out of your life other than Jesus Christ. All the things you want to anchor to and try to support and embrace and so forth, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a new world coming. He's coming forth with a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth. I love my country. I'm glad I live here. But I'll tell you, folks, it's been absolutely seized upon. I find the only freedom and liberty I find is in Jesus Christ. And really, that's the reality of it all. Stand with me if you would. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we thank thee, Lord, that we can look into thy word and be moved by it. O Lord, these are treacherous times, but Thou art the living God. Thou hast the keys of hell and of death, and we firmly embrace Thy word. We believe in Thee, Lord. Lord, help us to reach out to the lost, the deceived, to those, O Lord, that are in this nation that are being trampled upon and some don't even know it. O Lord, I pray that Thou wouldst help us as Thy servants to bear the truth, to lift it up, no matter what anyone says to us or what they try to do to us. Help us, O Lord, to be Thy true children. O Lord, I know that we can proclaim the everlasting gospel as the only way, for Thou art the way, the truth, and the life. So fill us with Thy purpose and keep us in the way everlasting. We ask it in Jesus' name, and let Satan be put to flight. Let his devices be exposed. Let them be unmasked. Let people come awake, O Lord, especially Thy sleeping remnant. Those, O Lord, that if they would just come awake, would see and understand. By Thy touch, they will. And we appeal to Thee, Lord, for this. In Jesus' name, amen.